It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
It's Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Yeah, you've played in some big games, Aaron. How do you put this one into words?
Well, it's hard to. It is. But it's the Bear Packer rivalry. So you would have had to take something really catastrophic injury wise to keep me off the field in the second half. You know, I went in the locker room. Did all the tests, and then I was in our indoor facility trying to get it loosened up. But I knew once I got back on the field, the adrenaline started going, I'd be able to hang in there.
You come back on the field, it's 20-0. There was a look in your eye. What were you thinking?
Something special. You know, I told the guys at halftime, I said, if you shut them out, we're going to win. They gave up six, but I just had a feeling. You know, we could circuit and get things going if we just put together a couple drives, disappointing, you know, with the field goal. And then guys started making plays. That's what we said to Otto. You know, we got to make some plays. Gmo had a great catch. And then Randall, you know, ran about 80 yards for a touchdown. It was pretty special.
How confident are you that you're going to be ready for next week against the Vikings?
Well, I'm playing next week.
Congratulations.
Did you hear the congratulations? Listen to her voice quiver.
Congratulations.
Sorry, Jimmy, go.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I want to expound on that, but I don't know what I can get away with.
The rain emoji?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they would definitely be like a...
Eggplant emoji? Like, what do you give there?
No, I would give the umbrella emoji and the wet emoji with the drops. Yeah.
Congratulations. It sounded like Jim Gray talking to Brady.
Congratulations.
So that I get. That gets annoying. But what do you want? It was a good comeback. So like that I sort of understand. But no one's dumping on Brady in that. They're just praising another guy. Can you take it? Can you handle it?
I see. The part of her comment that I didn't like, you had a look in your eye.
I know. It's like,
really? How do you know? What, were you out in the field with him? Like, what the hell does that mean?
But the quarterbacking in the NFL, at least there's an Aaron Rodgers out there. And then there's a handful more that have won at a high level and belong on some sort of all-time list somewhere, whether it's Roethlisberger or Breeze or Rivers, all right? And then there's a whole young sort of wave where you should feel good if you're a Jet fan for the first time in like 40 years. Seriously. Like, you may have a guy who can play, and if you're in Kansas City, you look at that second-year quarterback and go, whoa, like, we might really be onto something. And in L.A. with Jared Goff, as he turned the corner, that's a good young quarterback. It just might be. And you go down the line. Minnesota probably feels like they have a Super Bowl-caliber quarterback right now to go along with a good team, and they can go do something. And you can go on down the line and probably name two-thirds of the league that says, you know, we're okay there. The coaching? Oh, my God, the coaching. I can't even come up with three guys that I like.
The coaching is, it's wretched. I mean, it is as wretched. And you know what? The caller who said McVay, that's a good one. I mean, they had a good year last year. Like, maybe there was something going on there.
0-1 in the playoffs, I think. But, you know, at least there's hope there.
But other than Belichick, it's wide open is the point. Like, there's no clear number. There's not even a clear top five. Like, it's Bill and everybody else.
There's not a two. There's not a two. Like, I have a new two. My new two is Andy Reid. After seeing what Patrick Mahomes looked like, I'm like, okay. Andy, you made Donovan McNabb into an actual quarterback. You made Alex Smith into an actual quarterback. Now you've taken a third guy and molded him. And all of a sudden, you know, like, I won't say out of nowhere, but like right out of the chute is what I mean. It looks like you got a guy who can play. So you can do something. But you know what a distant second? The guy can't win a playoff game.
No.
The guy can't manage the clock. But and that's the second best guy.
Yeah, he's like Marty Schottenheimer, for crying out loud, really. And I told you, my number two now is Mike Zimmer. I think Zimmer is the second best coach in the league.
Do you want a little bit more from Mike Garafolo on Matt Patricia?
Sure.
Who's been tweeting about this, who he says results like last night's blowout loss to the Jets could bring things to a head both ways between the players and the coach because veterans were griping. And he says here...
Is this one game?
Yeah,
after one game?
In this tweet here, an agent for a player on the team told me he would be interested to see how they played week one because they were run hard in camp. Thought they might be out of gas. He texted me last night during the game, quote, I kind of predicted this, not kind of, he flat out called it.
So, like, I don't mind Patricia coming in hard and working them. I think the Lions probably need that. It's just, you just got zero response. That's all. Zero response. Back to your phones. I'm Mike and Woburn on the quarterback play. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. You know, I think we overestimate you know, the greatness of Brady as compared to other guys like Rodgers, because I think he's been in an ideal situation. Granted, I still think Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. But vis-a-vis quarterbacks versus coaches, let me ask you this. How many quarterbacks in this league right now do you think single-handedly could carry their teams to titles versus how many coaches do you think in this league can scheme their way to a championship? And how many in the past have? Like, if you look at coaches, if you have enough talent – you have idiots like Pete Carroll that can win championships. But if you are relying strictly, if you have just like, you know, the old Ron Borges phrase, the Jimmy and Joes or the X's and O's, I think you've got to go with the Jimmys and Joes 9 times out of 10 because, you know, these guys routinely drag like also rans like Brian Billick to titles. And with quarterbacks, you need a good one. Especially in today's passing, you know, heavy league, you need a good quarterback. You're not going to win an NFL championship with Ryan Fitzpatrick quarterbacking your team. Sorry, Carlton.
But you did win with the backup last year. So, I mean, it cuts both ways. They're obviously both important. I, you know, we can debate what you need more. What I'm just focusing on is how much better off the quarterback position is than the coaching position. It's not even close.
No, it isn't close. Way more talented quarterback than coach. And the other thing is, there are coaches in the league who can scheme one side of it.
Sure.
Like Peterson offense.
Like Andy Reid.
And you know what? Pete Carroll. Like, I think Mike Woburn selling Pete Carroll short.
He's a good defensive coach.
He is a good defensive coach. He's always been good on defense. So, like, to me, you give Carroll that talent on defense, not every coach turns Seattle into the defense that he turned him into. So there's something there.
Here's Joe in D.C. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I have a theory on the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre-like moment the other night. You know, I was thinking maybe Khalil Mack running all over him, you know, maybe it jarred something loose and, you know, he needed an excuse to get into the locker room so he could relieve himself.
So you think he was...
Thoughts?
Okay. I think he's making a joke. I don't know. You think he was faking it because he was afraid of Khalil Mack?
I mean, I know this. When I saw the replay, I went, oh boy, if that's an ACL, like, that's immediately the first thing I thought.
It was an idiotic way to go down.
I mean, the way his leg bent, once you see the knee bend inward, like, what's the difference between that and Jeremy Hill? Once you see the knee bend that way, the first thing you say is ACL, uh-oh.
Joe in D.C. and any of the rest of you, I'm sorry there was another quarterback in the NFL who had a good day. I'm sorry there's another quarterback who people think is special. I'm sorry. Not my fault. That's not my problem. Here's Adam and Lowell on this very thing. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I feel like you're right. Anybody who tries to, like, bash, like, Rodgers' talent or, like, place in the quarterback, like, cathedral is dumb, stupid. He's unbelievable. But he did do some he's guilty of some unsavory things. Like, when they cut Jordy Nelson because he wouldn't take a pay cut and he's constantly hurt, Rodgers was pissing and moaning, and he threw rookie wide receivers under the bus during the first practice, said, oh, this is the worst practice we ever had. And he put it out there. I don't understand why we couldn't afford to keep Jordy. And then he got that ridiculous contract. If I was the Packers GM, I'd be like, that's why, you moron. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I mean, Rodgers can be kind of a nozzle. He can be. And if we're just talking about this, again, like I said, like that intangible piece is to Brady a million times over. No question about it. I don't think... You know, and I keep saying, if you dropped Rodgers into this system, he would have won quite a bit of, you know, he would have won some championships. And that Ian O'Connor tweet, you just want to throw it again up on the simulcast. I'll read it to you. Ian O'Connor, writing this big Belichick book, he tweeted out over the weekend, that Tom Brady once told an NFL coach that if Aaron Rodgers had Patriots' offensive scheme and institutional knowledge on opposing defenses, he'd throw for 7,000 yards every year. He's so much more talented than me. Again, that last sentence is false modesty and not true. He's not that much more talented. But you drop Rodgers into this system, he would have had a hell of a lot of success, no question. He'd get to throw to some open receivers, that I know. But I don't think Rodgers would make it for 18 years under Belichick. You know, Brady finally has had enough, right? And he's broken, and I don't like it. But he did put up with it for 18, 19 years.
It's amazing it took this long.
There's no way Rodgers would. Rodgers is more of a diva or softer or whatever you want to say. He would not have been able to put up with that exacting culture for that long, I don't think.
Do you think the contract is ridiculous?
For Rodgers?
Yeah.
No!
See, the caller saying that bugs me, too, and that's another thing that they're going to harp on, right, is the contract. Well, Brady wouldn't do that. You know what? Like, I almost look at that as being a fault of Brady's, because I don't think the money necessarily goes back into the team. Rodgers is worth it.
Oh, my God. Without him, he's good. He's a difference of literally 10 to 11 wins a year.
And proof to what you're saying about Rodgers not being able to deal with Bill's crap for 19 years, he wrote off his family. He doesn't talk to his family anymore, right? Like,
oh, well, I think they patched up. I don't even know what that is.
Well, but for a time,
you're right.
He told his family to screw.
He did. So I don't know what that means about being able to work.
Brady, time and again, capitulates. It's like always just...
Fair enough.
You know, he's dealt with the nonsense, even though it's made him upset. Rodgers would have said, like, see ya at some point.
I bet you the Patriots wish Brady told his family to screw. In fact, I can guarantee they feel that way about Gronk.
We continue with your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blitz coming. Garoppolo sees it, fired, intercepted, and a clear route to the end zone for Mike Hughes. Touchdown.
A-G-I-N-T. Oh, Jimmy G.
Garoppolo
over the middle. You are no. Is poor heartaches.
Oh, God.
With every sack you take.
Ugh, you gotta be kidding me.
Every game you
play.
Every pass you make.
That throw goes on Jimmy Chin.
Every dumb mistake. Every weak play fake. We'll be watching you.
Jimmy G catastrophe.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, you never want those things to happen, but it's unfortunate. You know, we just have to bounce back from it. It's, I mean, what are you supposed to say at that point? You know, it is what it is type of thing. And, you know, it's both of our faults. Whenever you throw an interception, it's always on the quarterback, so.
Meanwhile, there's Maz's guy. My guy, too. I like Garoppolo. I think he's going to be good. I hope he's good. Disastrous week one. Disastrous. And what's sort of the worst, Maz, is he looked timid, and there's a little post-game cut, sort of, I don't know, sounding a little less than confident, playing a little less than confident.
I mean, again, that pick six, he just, in the face of pressure, turned away and just kind of flipped the ball out there. He did. He looked like Tony Eason on that play. I mean, to me, that was just like, exactly, Murray. Like, he flipped it out there, and I don't want to get hit, so let me just flip it out and, you know, get out of the way. And there was another, you know, one of the other interceptions happened after, I don't remember what the score was in the game at the time. Maybe it was 14-6. But the Niners were starting to get to some momentum. They stopped the Vikes. They forced a punt. They had just scored on the previous possession. I don't remember if it was a field goal or a touchdown. I think they had to settle for a field goal. And on the first play, he threw a pick. So it happened more than once. He big mistakes by him in that game. Now, that said, his receiving corps blows. Believe me, go back. If you get a chance, if it's even the condensed version of the game, watch it. His receivers can't catch a cold. It's brutal. But he sucked in this game. He wasn't good.
Okay. Have you been shaken in your confidence in him or your belief
nope.
in him or
nope.
what's going to transpire this season?
Nope. I told you, this year, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I bet against it, for crying out loud. So they had a nice little run at the end of the year. They went 5-0. Great. Didn't mean anything. Now people are gunning for them a little bit. It's going to get harder. On top of it, they're in a tough division, and they're out of division games. There looks to me like they get some tough matchups. They got to play at Minnesota. They got to play at Green Bay. I think they're also at Kansas City. Like, those are all losses. A good team will go in there and lose, let alone a mediocre team, which is what I think the Niners are. They don't have the horses around him yet, certainly not in the skill positions. And so I'm not expecting, oh, what are they going to go, 12-4? I mean, like, people think he's going to show up and be Joe Montana out of the gate?
If he's not, they'll hold it against him.
Of course they will.
That's what you said. You said he would be the second coming of Joe.
Said he reminded me a little bit of Joe. And in the long term, Murray, he just might remind you, too.
So you're still on it.
I'm not giving up on Garoppolo.
I agree. Maz, too good of a take to give up after 1 week.
Based on one loss in Minnesota, who might win the Super Bowl? No way. By the way, the Vikes are legit. So, no, I'm not giving that one. I'm going to go pound sand. I'm digging in my heels on that one. As you said, I will die on that hill.
Back to your phones. Albert in Rhode Island. Hi, Al.
How's it going, guys? Mike, I think you hit most of the stuff with the Brady and Rodgers thing. The only thing I think you're way off is that Rodgers is tremendously way more talented than Brady. I mean, you know, if Mike McCarthy got fired today, there are 10 college teams that would not fire their coaches and take him. That's how bad he is. And like you said, overcompensating receivers that don't get open, stale schemes, keeps his receivers out, keeps them out wide. Aaron, it's so difficult for him to play a good game. But like you said, for Brady, Brady's at a better advantage than any quarterback to ever play the sport before the game starts, because he has the smartest head coach and the consistency and the structure, the organizational structure. He's been fortunate for 19, 20, however many years it's been. And the idiots around here, you just don't want to allow the brain to open. Well, he's got five. He's a man's man. Well, you know Brady's got that it factor. We're going to start with all that it stuff.
But he does.
But balls.
But he does.
But Rodgers does too. Yeah, but Rodgers does too. Rodgers a man too.
Okay, but not like Brady. I'm going to stop you. When you've got the it factor, which I believe in, Brady's got it. He's got it over everybody. He's got it over Rodgers. Today, yesterday, every day of their careers. And that's Brady's separation to me. Physical talent? So fine. Like, Elway was more physically talented. Aaron Rodgers is more physically talented. You can name a lot of guys more physically talented. Why I love that position. And, you know, just talking about it, this isn't track and field. It's a mental position. It's a toughness position. It's an intelligence position. It's a leadership position. It's all these things that that are just beyond who's the biggest, fastest, best arm, etc. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is more physically talented. Big deal. It doesn't matter at that position.
I mean, there's really no position like it in sports. It's not even close. For everything you need to be able to excel at that position, and I say excel, when you look at the really great ones, they're all pretty smart. I mean, Montana's another one. Like, to me, he and Brady are sort of the closest. Montana's the closest to Brady to me. Montana was a genius back there. He was dynamite.
Jay in Grafton has a Patriots thought for us. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on Dante Hightower's role going forward, where we saw a lot of Juwan Bentley in the middle of the defense calling signals. I'll hang up and listen on the air.
So I think it's great. I think Hightower, when he's on the line, rushing the passer, or playing like more of an edge position, in the past, is devastating. It can be a real factor. And I still don't know. I like Flowers. I like some of these young guys. I still don't know how many playmakers they have up there. So if you can get Hightower into like a playmaking spot, all for it.
See, beat me to it. I was just going to say, what was the biggest play of the Super Bowl against Atlanta?
Sacked by Hightower.
Absolutely. And you know, they sent him. So if you have a guy now that can free you up to move him around, absolutely. No question about it. Hell, say what you want. Convenient bounce or anything else. But he did recover that fumble in that first play of the game. He was in there. So he's the one who got the ball. Now, again, no big great play or whatever else, but I'll take it.
And Bentley, you know, sort of has saved the draft. If you look at their draft, their first three picks, donut so far. You'll get nothing out of Wynn. You'll get nothing out of this Duke Dawson. The running back is the only hope, the running back. And so Bentley, I think it was in the fifth round or
something. He was fifth rounder.
That's a score. That's a grand slam home run because it looks like that guy can play. And that is some, that's a reason to watch preseason football, because he showed it in the preseason. He's carried it into the regular season. Turns out that does translate. Brandon in Roxbury. Go ahead, Brandon. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks, Matt Patricia, for messing up my DraftKings, but I just want to say this. Matt Patricia, no Josh McDaniels, he worked with Bill O'Brien, and he worked with Bill Belichick. So without those guys, and they're the head coach at Detroit, and you're going against the New York Jets that you dominated for years, and they go in there and pummel you, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Why do you think it is Bill's assistants haven't worked. Like, you had the whole Bill Walsh coaching tree that had that whole, you know, Mike Holmgren all the way on to, you know, the West Coast offense still exists. Like, there's trees and branches of it. And Andy Reid is, like, still a disciple of the Walsh thing. And the Mike Holmgren thing is where he came from. It's like, and Paul Brown spun off all these guys. Was Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi on both on Paul Brown's staff? Is that, they? I think.
That sounds right, actually.
Landry and Lombardi came from the same staff, I think. I'll look it up. But how come all these guys suck that come from Belichick?
Look, if you want my opinion on it, I think it's because too many of them try to act like Bill. And the fact is that Bill's people skills suck. And the only reason Bill gets away with doing it the way he's doing it is because he has the credentials. So once Bill won in 01, everything changed. Right up until that point, Bill was, well, this guy can't relate to people. He's a tactical genius, but he doesn't have the personality to lead. That was all the criticism of Belichick, and then he won, and everything changed. And then all of a sudden, when he showed up in the room, everyone said, well, we have to listen now. And Bill was able to parlay that. But all these other guys, if you are Matt Patricia and you come in and you lay down the law, someone looks at you and says, who the hell do you think you are?
Well, you heard the same thing about Josh McDaniels when he went out to Denver. And remember Scott Pioli when he was with Kansas City, like spying on other people that worked in the building and things like that. Not to build anything like that here. That
how do you know?
That we know of. But he went too far and tried to be too much of an a-hole. Like, it's just they're trying to emulate him and maybe try to one-up him in terms of how he deals with players and personnel. It doesn't work.
No, and look, you mentioned Thomas Dimitroff earlier, who went to Atlanta, and overall has been a success down there. And you know what my lasting Dimitroff story is? That Julio Jones thing.
Yeah.
Where you know, he talked to Bill about, you know, should I move up and draft Julio Jones? And Bill said, no, don't do it. You can get Jonathan Baldwin at the same later in the draft, and he's the same player. Really? How do we look at that one now? And you know what Dimitroff said? Screw that. I'm moving up. I'm getting Julio Jones. And he got him, and he was right.
Why do I think Lombardi and Landry with Paul Brown? They weren't. They were on the same staff together with the Giants in 1954 and 55 under the immortal Jim Lee Howell. But Lombardi was the offensive coordinator. Tom Landry was the defensive coordinator. Pretty good staff.
Yeah.
So there's no tree there. But I don't know. It's just, but, look, so it's a whole personality thing I get, right? But Bill does have some schemes. Like, The Patriots offense consistently gets guys open. Guys are open, whether they're bums, decent players, or great players. They're open. There's separation. There's always separation, it feels like. What if you're in those meeting rooms and you're practicing against that offense every day, can't you just duplicate that? Like, make sure the receivers turn around and face the quarterback or are looking early for little dump-offs or whatever it is that they figured out. How come no one else can figure that out?
Yeah, I think, and look, I'm telling you, I put a big part of it on the personality thing, Mike. What's the, maybe the most important attribute as a coach is they have to believe in you, is your credibility. You got to get these guys to buy in. And Bill doesn't do it with his personality, or at least not initially. Bill does it with his credentials. Like, to me, like, the only, if you were a player and you went to talk to Bill Belichick in 2001, you would have said, what is this guy's problem? But once he wins, it's different. And now he's got multiple ones, right? They rattled off 3 and 4 years, and all of a sudden the legend was born. But Matt Patricia walks in, and he has no personality. You look at him going, who the hell are you?
Okay, well, maybe that's it. But it is still a just sort of a lingering question. How come none of his guys work? None of them work, it feels like.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's been disciplined enough. I know he's been itching to go out there and contribute. It's been hard for him, actually, just watch from the dugout and the clubhouse and games on TV. But for him to go out there and even though it's a short one, it's pretty exciting. We are, too. Today's a big day, but I think tomorrow will be a bigger day, and then the day after will be a bigger day, and see how he reacts to it. But it seems like everything should be fine. You know, from now on, we're going to have this guy every 5 days on the mound.
Okay, see your football calls on there. We'll finish them up here in just 1 second. Give me a second. I want to weigh in on Chris Sale and the Adam McQuaid trade. First on Chris Sale. Expectations tonight, Maz.
So to me, I'm less concerned with the velocity than I am his ability to put the ball where he wants it and have a good slider. Like, I you know, I don't want him to face massive road back. The health goes without saying, right? But honestly, I don't want him to come out and throw 99. He did that the last time. He ended up right back on the DL again. So dial it down a little, but show me that, you know, you can go through the process and still execute at a high level.
This is kind of a big one.
It is a big one.
If he has a setback, it's over. I mean, I don't know. It feels to me like they're out of time if he has a setback.
Close. I don't know if it depends how big setback. Like if it's
I mean, if there's a third attempt to come back and he doesn't do it, then he's hurt. He's hurt, and forget about it.
Sure.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't know if he's hurt or he just has like soreness.
So you still don't think it's that serious?
I don't know. But there was enough soreness for them to shut him down the second time. But I don't know if it's a tear. You follow me? Like, you know, if you get a torn rotator cuff or something, well, then forget it. It's over. He's not going to pitch. And I don't know. Maybe they're trying to navigate their way through that. But I sense they just wanted to, again, I've sort of gone the other way on this now, that they've just dialed him down. They're trying to get him right. And we'll see what happens in October. And they, you know what? They're going to need him for 8 innings now. Like when they send him out there, he's going to have to pitch 8.
And what's your confidence level he can do that?
Right now,
none.
50-50.
Well, and then you get into a long series, a 7-game series. You can do that in game 1 and game 5. Or in a DS, he's going to do that in game 1 and game 5. No way. Like, even in a good circumstance, I don't think he's that kind of guy. He's not a workhorse kind of guy.
Well, so again, maybe this is the reason they shut him down at 147 innings or whatever it is.
So they need a bullpen. Like, that's the kind of team that needs their bullpen.
Do you realize it's been in 45 days, he's thrown 68 pitches? This really isn't. I looked this up this morning. It's not that different from what happened to David Price last year. David Price was no pitches in 62 days. Okay, this guy's thrown 68 pitches in 45 days.
And Price was a reliever. So there's the sale thing. Also, today, the Bruins traded Adam McQuaid. Adam McQuaid traded from the Bruins. Two things here. One, I'd say it's about time. But on the other breath, I'll say, like, I don't want this to sound like I'm dumping on the player. But I'll get to that in a second. It's about time because they've just had a redundancy there for the last couple of years with him and Kevin Miller there. It's the same guy making the same money at the same age. It's just the same. And it's they've been too heavy there now for a couple of years. They should have they let a good young defenseman go in Colin Miller, who goes to Las Vegas in that expansion draft and helps take that team to the Stanley Cup Finals. And meanwhile, you're stuck with, and I already say stuck with, but you're left with McQuaid and Kevin Miller, who are, you know, 30-something right-shot bruising defensemen. I think Kevin Miller's got a little more skill than McQuaid, but they're roughly the same guy. Third-pairing, sort of physical, veteran right-shot defenseman. And they both make around 2.5, 2.75, and it was just, how many of these guys do you need? And they were going into the year with 8 NHL defensemen, 8 guys. McAvoy, Chara, Carlo, Krug, McQuaid, Miller, John Moore, Matt Greslick. All NHL guys, and so that means they would have had 2 NHL salaries, you know, not two-way salaries or minimum guys sitting up in the booth every night. That's just too much to carry, I think. So it was due. And it's about time they did it. And they got, you know, Steve Kampfer, like, he used to be here, I guess. I barely remember him. He's an AHL guy and some draft picks. So it's about time. They should have done this a long time ago. Makes it sound like I'm dumping on Adam McQuaid. I'm not. That was a good Bruin. Adam McQuaid was a good Bruin.
He's kind of a classic Bruin, don't you think?
One of the last remaining ones. Like, he was a good Bruin. Tough. I was going to say dependable. He wasn't. He was always hurt. But that's because he played so tough. And he was just a tough, old school kind of hockey player. And he was a good Bruin. He helped you win a cup, helped you go back to another. He was a big part of that whole resurgence. He was a great guy to have on the team, and he was a great Bruin. So it was a good run. Lasted a little bit too long, but that was a good run. And you heard Don Sweeney today talk. You know, he's sort of regretful and sad about it, and he should be, because that was a good guy to come through here. So McQuaid was a good guy, and he was a good Bruin, and I don't mean to dump on him, but see you later. It's about time.
No. I mean, he gave you everything he had when he was out there, right?
One of those classic guys.
I mean, really, that's how I define him. He gave you everything he had. What he had was limited, offensively especially, but he gave you everything he had when he was on the ice.
So it's just weird. It's another thing that stands out is that when they went to the Cup in 2011, they led the league in fighting majors, and that was sort of the last little run of time here in hockey where fighting was a factor and a real part of the game, and they used it to their advantage. You know, that 2011 team, pretty much everyone on the team other than Krejci and maybe Bergeron could fight, maybe Marchand, you know, but for the most part, they all of them, if they had to, could do it.
Tough.
All of them. Lucic, Horton, you name it. Go down the line. That entire team, the Chara, McQuaid, Ference, name it. They all could do it. And now you look at the team, like Kevin Miller can.
Oh, no, they might as well be the Swedish national team.
I mean, seriously, I don't know if they're going to have a single guy other than Kevin Miller who can drop the gloves. I mean, I'm just thinking.
Backus?
Yeah, sure. Yep. Yep. Ken. So maybe two. You know, so the league's changing, the team's changing. All right, so there's your minute on Chris Sale, and there's your minute on Adam McQuaid. Back to your phones. Here's Ross in New Hampshire. What do you got for us, Ross?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Felger, I don't understand why you seem to think that Patriots fans don't like to see another quarterback be successful in the league. I mean, yeah, yesterday, Aaron Rodgers comes back out, 20 points down. Absolutely. That was awesome. But I mean, come on. We're playing him up like he's some kind of hero and this and that. Might I remind you, 28-3 against Atlanta in the Super Bowl?
So wait a minute. In the first breath, you say, where are you getting this thing from about Patriots, sense of Patriots fans? And then you go on to this thing about, well, what about 28-3? I'm talking about you, Ross. I'm talking about you.
Why are you even bringing Brady into the conversation, Ross? Why can't you just say the Rodgers thing was cool?
No, Rodgers thing was absolutely cool. And as a diehard, lifelong Patriots fan, wearing a Patriots sweatshirt as we speak, I love to see good quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I can tell.
Quite frankly, there aren't very many of them. And, I mean, you guys watched the Thursday night game. How abysmal was that? I turned that thing off and went to bed at halftime because it was just so pathetic.
Well, that's sort of my point. At least Brady has a peer or a cohort or someone you can put in the same breath or have an argument with. At least that exists. At least that existed. You know, Brady had it with Manning, and now it's with Rodgers, and at least you have that. And how healthy is that? That's good. Bill and the coaching thing? There's no one within 14,000 miles of Belichick.
No, different planetary system.
It's sad.
Completely. Different planetary system. And Ross, don't kid yourself. If Brady had orchestrated that thing that Rodgers did on Sunday night, you'd be running around the streets naked. Seriously.
Matt in Acton on Belichick and his coaching tree. Matt, how come no one works out?
So, I don't know if it's like possibly an intellectual, you know, property thing. But, you know, when I go to work somewhere else, I have to sign something. And, you know, maybe I wouldn't put it past Bill to make you sign something to make you go somewhere else.
You're not allowed to use what you know. You're not allowed to.
Oh, come on. Like,
there's no way.
No, I mean, like, you give him the finger on that one and say, I'll use whatever I want.
But, I mean, it's still true. It's just 1 week. Like, so like, we'll wait. But the Patricia thing looks scary. I mean, that looks absolutely scary. Like, there's already a queue. There's already mutiny going on there.
I mean, to me, this one was predictable. You could see this coming. Like, again, and I'm sorry, I do go back to that Goodell t-shirt. You have a guy who wants to be a head coaching candidate, comes off a plane wearing a Roger Goodell t-shirt with a clown nose, and you're going to hire him as a coach? Like, I don't know who's dumber. Patricia for wearing it in the first place, or the Lions for actually hiring him after it?
The guys that come from this staff who've been head coaches, Weiss, Crennel, McDaniels, O'Brien, Vrabel,
Patricia Mangini.
Oh my God, what suckbags.
Yeah, so Vrabel we don't know yet. And O'Brien's the best of the lot. He completely wet himself on Sunday.
I don't know. O'Brien's Mangini. Mangini had a playoff year.
So that's true.
Didn't he? Did he make the playoffs?
Yeah, one year.
So Mangenius. Remember that?
Sure.
Remember the Mangenius? But that is, that's freaking scary,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it is. Yep. And again, I'm telling you, because I think you ultimately you try to be who you learned under. I don't think, you know, I think it's just a force. Like, it just happens that way. And I don't think anybody can do it the way Bill does it. Just like Bill couldn't do it the way that Parcells did. That wasn't going to work either, because he didn't have the personality for it.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Felger
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No one.
Nobody. All right. We have the recap, courtesy of Hardy, of Greg Bedard's 10 yes. questions. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Now joining Phil Gramaz every Tuesday during the football season, unless the game is a Monday night. But either way, he'll be with us for throughout the football season. Here's Bedard, 10 questions from today.
Now, question number 10. Scariest week one performance. I can be a coach, a player, or a team. Bedard.
For me, it was
Matt Patricia. Your team sucks. You suck.
The most encouraging week one performance. Coach, player, or team. Bedard.
In week one, I mean, you know, have to be the
Bears.
That was impressive.
Should there be ties in the NFL?
I don't have a problem with it.
No. Put the ball on the 35-yard line. Let's go. Or you can elect to kick a 50-yard field goal for 4 points.
I love that. Oh. Bedard, what should be the level of concern over the Garoppolo performance?
None.
None.
I mean,
should be no concern?
No.
Zero.
I mean,
zip. None.
If you could redraft the 2018 first round, give me your top five picks,
oh,
Bedard.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'm not doing it.
You're not doing it.
No, I mean, I'm not doing it.
That's how you play the game, Bedard. Give me the biggest tool bag NFL commentator of week one.
If any of you name that woman who did the play-by-play last
night. Beth Mowins.
Did you know what she had going on a little bit last night, Mary?
That's a pick. Picks for Sam Darnold of the Jets.
Number four, last night saw a true rarity in the NFL. We only see it once or twice a year now. Only once or twice, and it used to be routine. What am I talking about? Bedard gets the first crack at it. What am I talking about, people? What was odd last night that we never see anymore?
All right, okay.
Dirt infield. I miss those days. I miss muddy fields.
All right,
I miss it.
Fine, okay.
I miss it.
All right.
Number three, Carolina nearly shut out Dallas. That say more about the Panthers or the Cowboys, big boy?
I mean, look.
Does Jacksonville deserve an NFL franchise? Should the Jaguars be in Jacksonville? And if not, where should they be, Greg?
They do not deserve a team, and they should get it over with and just move to London and let's get on with it.
100%.
You can kiss my ass with London.
I mean, look.
Seriously, though, Bedard.
It is.
He's never ready for the questions.
Nope, even though he gets them at 10 a.m. that morning.
Good. You know, it just occurred to me, like off the top of my head, how many munchkins do you think Bedard could fit in his mouth at one time? Seriously, like 10 more, right? Like, he's going to be able to get 15, 20 munchkins in there, I bet.
I'm not doing it.
If you packed them down a little, you squished them down, like you jammed them, you know, get rid of all the air.
I'm not doing it.
It's tremendous.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.